That's no reason to go walking the streets with these bums.
Who are you calling bums, pal?
You!
Randy!
Listen, we got two more of us in the back seat.
Pity the back seat.
If you're looking for a fight...
I am looking for a fight!
Two of them think we love to Mexico.
Okay. All right, and we are live. It's Andy Katz here. For Jimmy Ferrari and the Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team podcast known as Mission Statements. It's been a little while since we've had an episode. I think the last one we recorded was back in May with Fred Novoselsky, who does all of our logo design work and is a Delta Bravo member and discoverer and traveler as well. I've missed this. I missed listening. I miss talking about this with people. And a couple things have happened since May that brought us together here. Jimmy, as a lot of you know, is working on his book right now. And so I didn't want to step on his toes at all, but I've been itching to get back into conversations about Delta Bravo exploration and site visitation and just the kinds of things that we've discovered over the last 6 months. But today we have a kind of a special, very specific episode. We have two people that have agreed to kind of go down memory lane a little bit. Alan Perry, who is in Columbus, Ohio. He is somebody who has inspired me through his Delta Bravo discoveries. And I kind of followed in his footsteps a little while ago. And then the other person that is going to be on the call is a very famous breakdancer from the Rocksteady crew, Mr. Freeze, who is sort of the reason we're all together today. He's going to be the glue. I kind of met him under incredible circumstances in June. And I'll try to explain that a little bit as we get to hear his story. Of being in the movie, and among other things, the movie Flashdance as one of the breakdancers that Jennifer Beals happens upon walking through the city of Pittsburgh. So welcome, guys. I'm so excited that you're here. I wanted to include Alan because Alan found the spot where Mr. Freeze had done his dance in 1982 or 83, depending on when they filmed. 83 is when the movie came out. Was it 83 when they filmed it too? All right.
82. And,
what's that?
I think we filmed it in 82.
Oh, cool. Okay. 82 came out in 83. And Alan, do you want to sort of explain how you went about finding the breakdance scene filming location from Flashdance?
Yeah, so like you said before, I've been in this Delta Bravo group for crap. I can't even tell you how long now. And it was always about to me like the next big hit. You know what I mean? Like the important locations, like that changed the course of history. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Things that had like a tremendous impact on people. And at the time, you know, a lot of movies get filmed in New York City. So, I mean, that's like shooting fish in a barrel. Like you can walk down any street in New York and find five movies filmed on that street corner. You know, cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I lived in Pittsburgh my entire life until I moved to Columbus. And it was like, there's not a whole lot of movies that were filmed in Pittsburgh. There was even fewer that had such a important moment in history. You know what I mean? So I found the movie was filmed there, and I started looking through like some of the shots from the movie, started, you know, Google searching, you know. You're not going to find a whole lot of stuff on Google now for movies that were filmed and shot back in the 80s, unless they're like way up at the top, you know, because people weren't necessarily coming to Pittsburgh to find filming locations. You know what I mean? Except for right. us.
Except for us, right.
You know, so yeah. It was like, all right, movies that were filmed in Pittsburgh. I'm scrolling through the lists, and then I start looking into Flashdance. And the more I started looking into it, you got to remember, this movie came out before I was even born.
Oh, right? Is that right? I didn't realize.
I wasn't even born until 85.
Okay.
Right? But I started looking through for like the places where things had happened from the movie. And the thing with Pittsburgh too is it changes so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or it has changed so much since the 80s. So a lot of stuff isn't there where it was back then. So like movies like The Day of the Dead, you know, and some of those George Romero movies that were filmed in the Pittsburgh area, those locations were gone and you're never going to see them again because the buildings were all renovated, this sort of stuff, you know. But the more I started digging into looking for spots where they filmed Flashdance, because again, I also knew it was filmed partly in Los Angeles right. and partly right. in Pittsburgh. Right. I was like, I wonder how much of it was actually filmed in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, kind of going back and forth with another guy that was in the group years ago. I won't mention his name, but I was going back and forth with him, and we were trying to nail down what parts of the movie were filmed in Los Angeles and what parts of the movie were filmed in Pittsburgh. So there's mm-hmm. like the ice skating rink scene in the movie. We thought maybe that was filmed in Pittsburgh. We ended up coming to find out it wasn't Pittsburgh at all. But like,
and the bar, I think, is in LA as well.
Yeah,
right?
The bar is also in Los Angeles, or in that vicinity, you know, West Coast. But I, to be honest with you, I always kind of felt like that scene was more appropriate to have been filmed in Los Angeles because, you know, you're going to have obviously Mark, you know, and the breakdancing crew, the Rocksteady crew. Like, I had heard of them since I was a kid. You would think that, like, people as a viewer, you would think that, like, people of like that caliber would be in places like Los Angeles and New York. And, you know, you wouldn't think that they'd be in Pittsburgh. Like, they'd be filming that shot right. in Pittsburgh.
Can I actually stop you right there? Because yeah. I want to hear Mark's kind of thoughts about this. Mr. Freeze, Mark, can you tell us, you know, what do you remember about Pittsburgh? And if we dropped you in the middle of Pittsburgh, would you be able to find that spot where you filmed it? Do you remember where that was?
No, I have no idea where that was.
I can tell you the exact address because that's the nerds like us love to be able to sort of drop that with the pictures. I believe I sent you the mashups of the picture you're wearing on your shirt. Yeah. And can you tell us what you do remember about that time in Pittsburgh?
I remember us. I don't even remember going to the airport or the plane ride. I remember being brought to the hotel. It was the Hilton Hotel. We saw the big portrait of Mr. Hilton. And the next thing I remember, we're in this huge tent where I guess they were, the crew and the actors and everyone were eating. And they told us, can you guys dance right here? Or our manager at the time said, go ahead and set up here and just start dancing. So at that time, mind you, nobody has really seen Breaking other than, you know, Buffalo Gals video or whoever was lucky enough to be in the Bronx or the obscure little club in Manhattan called McGrill when Breaking was going on. So nobody knows anything. They've never seen it. And we put on the, put the tape in and we start dancing. And all of a sudden everyone's like, and they just started, it was interesting watching their eyes because they were like, what the hell is this? And I distinctly remembered because my main move that separated me from everyone else, of course I didn't look at it that way, but I was very excited, was to do the backslide with the umbrella. And I always waited towards the end because I knew it was more of a crowd pleaser rather than a difficult move. And when I did the backslide, they went completely bananas. It was very interesting.
So, and this was just practice. This was just,
It was just no camera. No cameras and a little cipher that we did. To us, it didn't even matter if people were watching because we were in our own world anyway. And the next thing I remember is we're in that little street scene, which, by the way, I have a photo that someone from Paramount sent me from the photographer taking a photo, but from the side, not the normal view that you're seeing that nobody has. So I'll show it to you in a few minutes if you want. And I just remember them putting down this type of a slick board so that since everyone was spinning, they wouldn't hurt themselves, even though we were used to spinning on the concrete because we would wear these windbreakers. So, you know, the windbreakers with the pressure of the spin, it made it easy to spin on cement. It didn't matter. But they put it down and they shot it from a distance so you couldn't see the flooring. You know, so if you notice, it was shot from a lot further than what you would see, think it was shot from. And we pushed play and that was it. We started doing our thing and we noticed that people would start coming over, which of course now we think those were extras that were thrown in. They're like, okay, now walk there. And all we did was we just got down. That was it.
That's awesome. Can I ask, I just thought of a question because I've seen the scene a lot. And of course, when I conjure it in my head, I hear Jimmy Castor Bunch's It's Just Begun. Do you remember what song you were dancing to in reality? Was it that song or was it something different?
It was. I brought the cassette. I brought on the cassette. It was Treacherous 3 with Spoonie G Love Rap.
Oh, and
and Jimmy Castor. And we put the tape in and that was it. And some years later, I remember because I never met Jimmy Castor. There was a club called SOBs in New York. I believe it was SOBs and he was playing. And Crazy Legs, he's like, yo, we're going to go see Jimmy Castor. He's playing at this club. I'm like, oh, shit. So we went over there and Mr. Castor would be like, what song would you like to hear? And I'm in the back room going, It's Just Begun. And the whole night I'm yelling, It's Just Begun. And interesting enough, he was getting pissed because while he was playing other songs, he started to get pissed. And he's like, I'll play it when we're ready. So I'm like, shit. So he finally did it. And at the end of the show, I went up to him. I'm like, Mr. Castor, I'm so sorry. My name is Freeze. I'm with the Rocksteady crew. I'm one of the guys that was in the scene. Like, listen, it was me that was yelling, It's Just Begun. But I'm the one that brought the cassette with you, you know, playing your song to Paramount. I mean, we were dancing to it. I had no idea they were going to use it, but it was me. You know, I was so proud that I was able to get his song out there because no one really listened to that. You know, I listened to Jimmy. People know James Brown, but it was just cool to be able to bring him to the forefront. And we became very good friends to this day. You know, even before he passed away, I'd have conversations with him and this man would walk in a mall or in the street and for me, he was just so amazing, but it broke my heart that he would walk around and nobody really knew who he was. I'm like, if you people knew who this man was, you'd go crazy. And some friends of mine that came visiting me from the north of France said the same thing. They're like, I can't believe people aren't going crazy for him. I'm like, he had so many hits, but, you know, he didn't get commercialized. We don't know how James Brown got commercialized the way he did to be that well-known, but realistically, it was his dancing. You know, he had some great moves, and he was very exciting in concert. Not to say Jimmy wasn't, but two different genres of moving.
Well, and I know, you know, with James Brown, he was certainly also sampled a lot within hip hop. I'm not sure. I feel like whenever they talk about the beginning of hip hop, you hear it's just begun a lot now, especially with it being the 50th anniversary. If I could just back up for a second before I ask you another question, I'm so glad you told the story about bringing that tape, because I hadn't even considered it. What were you really dancing to? You just kind of, when it's in the movie, we just assume that that's what was playing. But the fact that it was your tape is everything. That's really great. Yeah. I wanted to explain to people in this group, because the things that you're mentioning about like kind of saying, don't you know who this is? And if they only knew, that's kind of at the heart of what we do in this group. We try to run down locations that are important to us that, like Alan was saying, sometimes the city changes and you can't find the spot. So when Alan found this spot, and I forget what year it was you found it, Alan, it's probably like 5 or 6 years ago at least. And my daughter goes to University of Pittsburgh. So we went to a parents' weekend, I guess a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And there I was getting all of the Alan Perry shots. I'm like, all right, I gotta find that location where Mr. Freeze has the umbrella. And it was raining and we had an umbrella with us, and I didn't do what Alan did. And Alan actually, he mashed up the spot and he had an umbrella with him.
Nice.
Which is great. And so, but I wanted to tell people the story of how I met you, Mark, because it was in June. I was up in Brooklyn, New York, just for the day. And I live about 3 hours away from New York, but I was part of the the National Hip Hop Museum. We were inducting all of the people that were in the movie Wild Style into the Hall of Fame, into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. And I was there with my Wild Style train. In fact, I have it here. I know this is an audio podcast, but this is what I was doing there. I had two of these Wild Style freight trains, and I had drawn the Wild Style logo. I had replicated it on the side of the train, and it was my job, my task. Jeremy Beaver is the founder of the museum. He's like, hey, get everybody who was in the movie to sign this train. So I was dutifully standing there, and as everybody walked by, and it was incredible, because there's a lot of people who were in that movie who are still alive and still active in hip hop and promoting hip hop. And it was just a wonderful experience. So, you know, everybody's walking by signing the train, and this guy keeps coming over to me, and he keeps pretending to like do an elbow drop on the train, like he's going to crush it.
That's me. I do that with everything. No matter where I am in the world, I do that shit.
And I was like, oh, this guy's great. This guy's great. And I was like, no, don't do that. And here he's like, I would never. And then he came back over 10 minutes later and he did it again. He's like, I'm going to crush this thing. And I was like, oh, don't do that. And then I looked up and I was like, hey, I like your shirt, because it's a picture of the Flashdance scene with the guy with the umbrella breakdance. I'm like, where in the world would you get that? And he goes, that's me. And I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, are you kidding? He's like, I'm Mr. Freeze. I'm from the Rocksteady crew. And just as I said that, like, he got called up because Crazy Legs was getting inducted, and he mentioned him. So he goes up to the podium too. I was like, wait a second, what's happening? I didn't know who he was. And I was a little embarrassed that I didn't. And then I immediately thought of Alan, and Alan has to see this. And I don't know Alan very well at all. I just heard his episode on our Delta Bravo thing as someone who had found this spot. So I said, hey, can we get a picture? And you were really nice, and we got a picture, and I immediately sent it to Alan. And Alan's like, you just made my whole day. This is incredible. So I was like, it's Mr. Freeze. It's the umbrella guy. So that's what brought us right here today, is that we're all together because of that movie, because of that scene. And look, I know you've done a lot. You've traveled the world, and you've been in the Rocksteady crew, and you've been able to probably meet, you know, thousands of dignitaries and famous people. And, but I guess I wanted to ask you, you know, all these years later, how did you feel when that movie came out And did it have a direct impact on what you were doing at the time?
You mean when it first came out?
Yeah.
When it first came out, we were invited to see the screening on Broadway at the Lowest Paradise, I believe. And, you know, we're watching a movie and we're all sitting next to each other in a row. And then finally our scene came and we all were like, you know, we just were like, oh, you know, we're kids from the Bronx. I mean, we can't believe we're on the big screen like that. And when Normski went out, we were like, that's him, that's Normski. When I went out, when Frosty, Legs, Kenny, we were like, that's him. We were just so excited. And when it was over, the press came up to us and took a lot of pictures. And, you know, we felt like superstars. Yeah. Of course, within our world, you know, our bubble that we lived in, but because no one else knew of us, no matter where we go in the world, unless if we do a particular show and it was advertised. But I mean, it's more life changing now where, you know, you just get to appreciate what you did. And I remember a long time ago, I don't know if it was one of you gentlemen reached out to me years ago and let me know if you did, asking me if I remember the location of that scene. Was it one of you guys?
It was Alan. That's what Alan.
All right. So it was Alan. Yeah. So I remember. So Alan would ask me, and me personally, you know, some of us lived breaking where that's all that mattered. But for me personally, once it became a business, when we saw we can make money with it and you weren't really making money with it, it for me, it was, you know, I didn't really think of it. And when Alan contacted me, you know, it was impressive that someone would care. But also back then, the way I thought, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Why does he want the location to, who That's gives awesome. A shit? I mean, this is the way I thought, because I was pretty disgusted with, you know, just the whole scene. But of course, I was more bothered that I wasn't able to work, finding a niche to work, doing something that I love to do. So, Alan, you did a great job, man. Very nice. People should know about your research and what you've done throughout the world for whatever movies, because who does that?
We do. As a group, we do this. It's ridiculous.
Well, there you go.
And we're proud of how sort of nerdy it is. And what Alan was saying earlier, and I'd love to hear more from Alan too, just about how the research and finding a spot that no one else has found is really exciting. We've kind of pride ourselves on even some photographers that we've contacted. We're like, where was this picture taken? And they're like, I don't know. It's in Chelsea, or it's in this part of the New York, right, or wherever. And so we're like, okay, you don't know. We're going to find out now. So Alan, can you speak to that? Like, how did you end up finding it?
So once I determined where the filming was taking place or took place in Pittsburgh, my dates were mixed up. I thought that the movie came out in 84. Yeah, the movie came out in 83. It was filmed the year prior to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I started digging for where I actually went and bought an ancestry.com subscription for a year because it included newspapers.com. And with newspapers.com, you could go back and look at local newspapers for all around the city of Pittsburgh. So what I first started doing was I was like, okay, I know about a year prior to the movie coming out was probably when it was filmed. So I'm going to start looking for casting calls for extras for the movie in 82, you know? And I start just like page after page after page of finding things related to the filming of the movie. Like even a year later or 2 years later, there's a write-up and it's like, so-and-so remembers when this was filmed here. And it kind of triangulates a point of, oh, well, that was over in the Strip District.
Right.
So if they're filming over in the Strip District, and I can see from where she's dancing with the cop, and I can say, okay, from there to the strip district isn't real far. That's only like a block or two. Like, it's nothing to move from there to there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was able to use like those newspaper articles and people talking about it to the news, and then the casting calls and where people were going to meet for the movie, and then looking at the pictures that were in the newspaper of them saying, hey, they're filming this movie here, like, this is super awesome. And the tent that you're referring to, like, I don't remember exactly where that tent was at, but I remember seeing that in a newspaper article with having these big tents set up for everybody to eat, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember seeing all that stuff. And then it was like, and that was kind of like an oh shit moment for me. Whenever I started getting close, to the point where it was, this isn't an alley. And I'm like, this isn't in a major street. This isn't on like a main thoroughfare in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
There's 1,000 alleys. Mm-hmm. So even though I kind of got it in the right area, I'm like, I could be looking for weeks and months. And I was, I legitimately was with another guy. I think we looked at it for almost 9 months. and we were literally taking like Google Street View at the time. And I did pull it up. It was 2017 when I first hit it. It was January 16th of 2017. When I found it. But I was literally taking Google Street View, and knowing that part of it was taking place in the strip district near the old train station in Pittsburgh, I'm like, all right, so I'm going to start looking here. And I literally just went up and down the alleys on Google Street
View. Yeah, I've done that.
Trying to line something up.
Right.
Just so we all know where it is. It's Spring Way and 25th Street in the Strip District in Pittsburgh. And having been there a couple weeks ago, I didn't want to just follow in Alan's footsteps, although I was very glad I knew where it was because of his work. But I also found that Jennifer Beals was over at the Carnegie Art Museum, and that the scene where she gets nervous and ends up running out is the Carnegie Art Museum and also the Museum of Natural History. So there's quite a bit that I was able to match up, kind of starting where you started. And that's not in the strip district, but it's on the campus where my daughter goes to school. So it was just kind of cool to have my daughter there, my wife there. And of course they think I'm ridiculous, but they humored me. In fact, ironically or coincidentally, my daughter was holding an umbrella over me while I was taking pictures of the end scene where she runs out onto the street and the guy's waiting with his Porsche and the dog. So it was really quite cool. And Mark, if I could, you were, when I first contacted you to do this podcast, I think you were over in Europe. Were you in France? Is that where you were?
Yeah, I was in Paris.
Because you posted somewhere, I guess it was your Instagram, what really amounts to a Delta Bravo hit. There was a photographer who took your picture way back then. And then
41 years ago.
I think the same photographer took a picture on the same section of street. Is that right?
Yes. This is a long time ago at a particular place in Paris. I used to do street performing there. And he wasn't a photographer. He made it clear in the Q&A. He was a man who took pictures. He happened to have heard music, saw a big crowd, somebody dancing, and he started shooting photos of me. We became friends that summer, and then, you know, it disappeared. And years later, maybe 9 years ago, somehow he contacted me on Facebook, and he showed me all the photos. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. can I please have some to, you know, for my daughter if anything happens to me so she could see it? He's like, how about I'm just going to give you all the negatives because I don't do anything with them and you should have them. So I had a thing with Red Bull, who for the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years, they've been hosting a world championship B-boy competition called BC1. BC1 Red Bull, I guess. And they asked me if I wanted to come out and do something. And we talked about it. They said, we'd like to connect, you know, the French with the Americans. I'm like, well, I'm one of the originals from the Bronx and I'm French. So it makes sense. I said, but I'll do you one better. I have the negatives to me actually dancing in the streets there in 1982, but I'd like you to show those. And they were very excited. I said, but you have to bring out the gentleman that took the photos. That'll make it, you know, it'll just bring everything together. And they had no problem with it. So it was cool. He's a good friend of mine. We went back to the same place and I went to the same spot as you guys do.
Yeah.
And 41 years later, I'm at the same spot with the same gentleman. Unfortunately, you know, we talked about filming myself going back there for the first time in 41 years. Then him going back there and then us reuniting together and seeing each other would have been really emotional to catch on film. But I don't want to say they didn't think it was important enough. I think they were probably just pressed with time that they couldn't do it.
Well, you know, that's where we come in. You know, we want to honor these things too. And I was really glad you shared that on your Instagram page because I thought, you get it. You know, you're not just doing this, but you went back to the exact spot. You met, you have this relationship with the photographer or the man who takes pictures. Yeah. And it's great. You know, he's still around and they knew where he was. I just loved it. I thought, oh, wow. When you posted those side-by-side pictures, that's what
I have them here. I have them all here and he signed them. I have them. Incredible. I took photos of him signing it and video of him signing it. It's just for me, my archives. It makes me happy.
I think it's fantastic. And, you know, when back to the day where I met you, you did share and you said you showed me on your phone and you said, I can't share these with you. Hard copy. I can't send these to you, but I'll show you. And you showed me your phone. You showed me the outtake pictures that you mentioned earlier. Of Jennifer Beals and you on the street. And Alan, if you see these, if he shows them to you now, it probably would have saved you, you know, 9 months of your life because the backgrounds are all there. They're all clear. So
let's see if I can, how do I switch this so you can see? There we go.
Okay.
So this is a behind. So you would have seen it from here.
Look at that.
This is the actual.
How rad is that? Oh my god! It's amazing to see it from that angle.
Yeah, I got Frosty, Kenny, Omsky. You know, everyone. And these are photos directly from Paramount.
But yeah, and those are
clear. About these. Other one, hold on. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because the backgrounds in those are clear, whereas the. In the movie, the background becomes blurry when they.
Yeah, for sure.
The depth of field is very shallow on that scene. And I guess you said the cameras are really far away.
All right, here's what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You had these on your phone. Yeah, that's so cool.
I mean, I have more, but this one was professionally done. You know, on the sides, like going this way and that way, you can see more. I'd be able to show you more, but I just don't have, it's on my phone, so I can't show it properly.
I appreciate you showing us at all. It's incredible. Yeah. And it's sort of this really amazing confirmation that we found the right spot. And it's to see it from a point of view or an angle that we never have before is really exciting.
Yeah, it really excited me as well. I want to. The one that I have in the bathroom I showed you, I want to get that printed up in huge if possible. I just don't know how good the, you know, if it's doable. So these were the photos that the French guy took, and I got them all here. Anyway, it's not Flashdance, but I'm just saying I have them all. this was the guy, what he looked like back then.
That's so
great. Comparison to what he looks like now. Anyway, that's my little New York City Breakers memorabilia shit.
What can you talk about your experience in Wild Style?
Yeah. So Wild Style, I guess it was the first time I was in a movie or had something to do with something like that. And I always was a whiner, bitching about everything. And I remember we were at the Dixie scene. We danced in a circle. I left. And I remember there was an outdoor scene. And all I could do was bitch. This is fucking bullshit. This is taking too long. And I don't know if we already did Flashdance or not, but I was like, I'm leaving. And I left, which is why you really don't see me. I think you see me once at the end, where I forgot what that place was called. The amphitheater. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. I did a backslide with a cigarette in my mouth and smoke coming out. I was such a whiner. I had no patience. I don't think much has changed. I do have a little more patience now. We'll see how long this interview goes, and you'll see how my patience.
No, we won't go evaporates. Too much longer. No, we won't go.
I'm
too much
just
longer.
Kidding. I'm joking. No, I'm only playing.
Me too. It's all good. I absolutely love that. Those little bits of insight, because we're just fans. We watch this stuff. I experienced Wild Style just as a fan, and so when all that happened, I mean, you guys as a crew we're starting to get more work or more opportunities to dance, maybe for money or to be in movies. Did you maintain a relationship with anyone outside of Rocksteady crew that was in any of those movies?
Over the years I kept in touch with Blue, because I became the marketing director for the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. I ran a lot of their ultra lounges and clubs. So I would book, Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One. I would get to see Blue because she was managing Bambata at the time. So Blue is the one I kept more in contact with than anything. I would call her randomly other than business. But otherwise, she was my favorite, I feel, because of her. Or should I say because of Crazy Legs meeting her, she got us to where we are. A lot of people will beg to differ that, no, we would have been known anyway. And it's possible, but, I just don't feel we would have been, I don't see it without the Charlie Ahearns, the Martha Coopers, the Joe Gonzo, Ernie, all these photographer, video documentarians that are still alive, which in my opinion, the Olympics better use them to do a montage so that the general public worldwide can see what this culture is about and see that there's a historical significance to this story rather than breaking in the Olympics with a guy spinning on a head and people saying in Idaho, wow, look at that guy spin on his head. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You need to bring something.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up the photographers, because that's sort of been my entry point to all the Delta Bravo stuff. A lot of people do, movie sites or album covers. And I've been sort of doing a deep dive on photographers. I met Joe Conzo a few years ago, and he's amazing. He's sort of known as the guy who took the baby pictures of hip hop. And I'm sure you know the one picture. I did a trade with him. I'm an artist, and I did a drawing of Melly Mel from one of his photos, and he approached me and he's like, what would it take to get that from you? And I wanted to just do a straight up trade, and he sent me a bunch of photos. It was wonderful. He sent me photos. I sent him the artwork, and he sent me the images of my choice, and I chose the Popper, which is the break dancer. And I forget which club it's in New York, but nobody knows who it is. Nobody knows who the figure that's breakdancing is.
If you could show it to me, I might be able to tell you.
Yeah. And Joe doesn't know. So I figured nobody else knows, but I'll send it to you and I'll see if you can figure it out. But,
Hold on one second. If Joe asked you for the picture, you should have just given it to him. Told him, yes, I'll make you a copy right away.
Well, so I gave him the original, and then he sent me a bunch of photos in the mail. And it was like one of those great days. You go to the mailbox, and there's this tube. And you're like, what's it? This is gold. You know, it was better it's than
so
money.
Wonderful.
You know what He's I mean?
Such a nice man.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Joe Conzo and Glenn Friedman and Martha Cooper, all these people who were at the beginnings of things, I get really into sort of making sure they're honored, because like you're saying, the breakdance is going to be in the breakdance is going to be in the Olympics. Let's make sure we pay tribute to the people who were around and are the reason we know what we know, the documentary.
So they could learn it. Yeah. So
yeah,
they could, the people.
For sure. Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Alan, is there anything that you wanted to mention or ask? Cause I've been sort of monopolizing the time. I would love for you to get some more time asking any questions you have.
I don't really have so much as a question, but one of the things I thought was really interesting was earlier, whenever you mentioned how it, like the song that you were playing just so happened to be what you had, like it just so happened to be what you took. You know what I mean? Like those chance moments. So like, for instance, when I finally found the location to get to it, it's funny because my wife goes with me, and she's one of those types that like you said, Andy, she humors me, you know, and she's like, all right, let's go, you know. Oh, we're in San Francisco, let's go into the
that's nice.
Into the government building in San Francisco, so you can she take the Indiana you. Jones movie.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? That's
right.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yeah,
wonderful.
And she,
what a
like,
nice
she had,
woman.
Like, I got a picture of her, like standing there, like not really rolling her eyes, but like just kind of entertaining me. So like,
that's wonderful.
Wife, so like, my wife is like that as well, but my mom is like my adventure explorer, like. You know, this is going to sound kind of nuts, but hey, Mom, you want to go take a ride? And she'll be like, what are we doing? I'm like, we're going to find that location right now. You know, so I called my mom and we jumped in the van. Now, where I grew up was like an hour and a half, 2 hours drive to the city of Pittsburgh. Like, I grew up out in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. You know, it's like nothing happens out there.
Right.
So we drive the whole way into the city of Pittsburgh. And there was a couple other spots that like I wanted to get while we were in the city. But I'm like, this is the spot that I want to get. So we pull in the parking lot pull into a parking spot out on Smallman Street in the Strip District. Mm-hmm. And me and my mom are just walking around in the alley, and I find it. And I'm like, this is it. I'm like, Mom, this is the spot. Like, here's my phone. Like, take some pictures. And my mom's like, why are you rushing? I'm like, I don't know. Why am I rushing? Maybe it's because I'm like super excited that I finally, like, after months and months and months of looking, like, I finally found it. And my mom's standing there just like taking pictures. And I'm like making all these, like, there's probably 100 pictures that she took that I just deleted and threw away. But so at one point, my mom is standing there taking the pictures, and she goes, well, you know, I got an umbrella in the van. And I was like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, hang on. No, you got to do this with the umbrella.
She's right.
And she's literally holding my phone in one hand, holding her phone in the other hand. And she's like, no, kick that leg out a little bit more. No,
nice.
Yeah, that's where it's at. She's
amazing.
Like, all right, now lean nice. The umbrella back. So when you see the picture that I did with the umbrella, that's actually like, it was actually like a three-way or four-way photo blend to get the original with the current and then with me in the current. You know what I mean? So it was like I was in behind it and in front of it at the same time and kind of like going around it. And it just kind of goes back to like what you were saying, like it's, I didn't even think about having an umbrella, like when we went, like, hey, we need to make sure we take an umbrella so that we do this. But I have people in my life, like my wife and my mom, that are like, oh, wait, no, that's not the right angle. You need to back up a little bit, maybe turn, maybe angle, you know.
Because they care. They care about your work.
That's right.
And I'm like, I don't care if nobody ever sees what I do with this. It's like, I found this place, and this is such an important place because this is where it hit the forefront.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why because the movie came out before I was born. So the only way that I even know about these things, like breakdancing, graffiti, I'm a semi-professional graffiti artist here in Columbus. I would have never found out about things like that had it not been for these moments where it was put into my realm, you know, growing up in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. You know what I mean? Like, without that happening, when was I ever going to see that?
That's amazing. And Alan, you know, what you did was sort of like an epic example of what we're all trying to do in this group. Those of us who go out and hit spots, we all have our own little styles. I very rarely, if ever, put myself in the picture, and other people do. And when Alan did it, it made so much sense because, like he's saying, it was this double or triple or quadruple image where it had the original and the new one, and he was in it, and the umbrella was there, and it overlapped the both images. Incredible. Like, I wasn't thinking in those terms. I always just try to match it up. And then there's other people who put themselves in it, and there's other people who don't worry about matching it up at all. They just take a picture of themselves at the location. And nobody's wrong. It's all good. But it's all that same excitement of, I'm standing exactly where this moment happened. And I know we're really laying it on thick about how important this moment was, but that movie was impactful on its own. But within that movie, that scene, it was the start of suburban breakdancing, right? Like, someone like me who grew up in the suburbs in Maryland, that brought breakdancing directly into the suburbs. And I remember, like, my friend's mom saw that movie and she started like teaching aerobics. And you know, the soundtrack, all of the Jennifer Beals stuff, all of that became important in its own way to suburban moms. But the breakdancing thing and the music choice, all of that was so important. And Alan, I totally agree. It was this, it's part of our collective music and dance history now.
So it's funny you mentioned that I put myself in that picture. I'm trying to think back now. I've done a lot of photos. I've done a lot of spots through with the team and everything. I think that might be the only one that I actually put myself into.
Wow.
Yeah, I think all of the other ones were just kind of like lining up because it's usually me taking the picture.
Right. Right.
You know.
Yep.
But that one, I was like, I have somebody here, and this is like, this is a pivotal moment in pop culture that I don't think should be forgotten. You know, I think it's that important to society and to me that, like, I need to be in this picture. So I think, like I said, I might be wrong, but I'm almost certain that that's the only picture that I've done in Delta Bravo that I put myself in.
I mean, it's why the three of us are here right now. I know, Mark, you've probably had interviews about this, and you've talked ad nauseum about Flashdance and Wild Style and your dance career. But the way that we came together, I just love it. It was sort of organic. It was through graffiti and hip hop, and then just noticing your shirt. And that reminds, right. And you trying to destroy my train. Is there anything that you want to plug or you wanted to share, like maybe direct people to any of your merch or anything like that?
Hold on.
I'm sure there's people that would want one of those shirts if they and maybe Alan's wanting to scoop one of those up at some point.
Yeah, I feel like I definitely need to have one of those in my life.
Yeah, I am.
All right. I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, I would like to add something. That particular... that was from previously. Yes, hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. This is just a business thing I had to answer. So that particular scene, the backside with the umbrella, and I always come back to it, you know, mimes have been doing backslides. They call it moonwalks, but that particular movement is called a backslide. I don't give a shit what anyone says. It's the backslide. And it's funny because the guy that'll differ with my thoughts is the guy that I actually asked if I can use that move. So there was a gentleman, John Christian. His street name was Lockatron John with the Lockatrons in Brooklyn. And years ago, I saw him at United States of America, and he did the boogie, what we called in New York. I'm popping. And he had this very... Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So he's doing these boogie moves, and then he pulls out an umbrella and he starts going against the wind really slowly in slow motion. Then the umbrella goes back and he does the backslide. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, I never saw it done. I saw the backslide, but not like the way it was presented. And when I saw him, I'm like, John, that was amazing. I'm like, yo, do you mind if I use that move? Because with us back then, especially me, you know, biting is like cardinal rule number one. You don't do other people's moves. Right. But that backslide, he didn't make up. But he did, to me, it's the first time I saw that whole thing put together. And he told me, yeah, of course you can. So years later, we see each other and he goes, you know, Mark, he was a real character. He goes, you know something, Mark? When I told you you could use that move, I didn't think you were going to use it in a major motion picture where everybody thought that you made it up. And I said, John, whenever I do an interview, I'm going to make sure everyone knows. John Christian, you made that move and you let me use it. So thank you, John Christian, for making me famous.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. That's so great. That's so
He's
cool.
He's a wonderful man. He's such a nice man.
So I know I want to be sensitive to your time. Can I ask, like, maybe this is a dumb question, but like, how often do you dance still?
You know, I haven't gotten back into dancing yet. I have to do my third hip replacement. I did a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I play the butterfly guard a lot, which I believe is what ended up screwing up both of my hips. So I have to redo this hip resurfacing I did 16 years ago and do a full hip replacement, which is stronger. And once I'm healed off of that, I go into surgery next month. I will start training because I will be doing a lot of things in Paris for the Olympics. And I want to make sure that I can, you know, catch wreck in a circle to show that. I'll be 61, June, July, August, September. It'll be August of next year. So I won't be 61 yet, but I want to show that not because of my age, but that I still have some pretty unique style and speed.
That's awesome. Can I real quick, let me just shout out our sponsors, because I almost always forget to do this and I wrote it down ahead of time. So I'll just do this really briefly. Actually, I'm excited about it this time because the people that sponsor us are members of this group. Main Street Jukebox up in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, is run by a guy named Tom LaFever. He's been a guest on this podcast. He's an amazing dude. And I can't wait to actually get up to his shop at some point and spend some money on some records and some merch, because he's got some really cool stuff. He's just a good guy and he goes out and hits spots too. And he's always posting like people who come through his shop, like Rakim was there. Who was there the other day? There's somebody there.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, it was. It was Keanu Reeves. That's right. It was, I guess Dog Star had played in his the local club there in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. The other one I wanted to mention is Kevin Bednarz. I'm sure that this is going to air after this weekend, but this weekend, Kevin Bednarz, who is a Delta Bravo member and somebody who is just loves this sort of culture that we have here. He runs the Ashburn Pub, the Percival Pub, and Percival Eats in Virginia. And he's having an art show this weekend where he's calling it Grind, and he painted on skateboard decks. And he's giving having kind of a one-man show of all of these beautiful skateboards that he's painted over the each day of the month of October. And then he is going to give some of the proceeds to Still Brave Childhood Cancer Foundation, which is run by Tattoo Tom Mitchell, in honor of his child who passed away from childhood cancer. So I did my due diligence with shouting out our sponsors. I love that we got together to talk about the Flashdance location. Alan, you brought us together with your hard work and your efforts to find that spot. And Mark, Mr. Freeze, I thank you for giving us some time. It was definitely a pleasure to meet you, and now I feel like
I'm here,
been able to amplify it a little bit and connect you to our group. And I know that the people listening, the nerds that listen to this podcast, will absolutely love that we made this connection through finding a site, doing some research, and connecting pop culture and history to what we love to do when we visit places. So thank you both for giving us an hour of your time. And is there anything else either of you want to say before we say goodbye?
Good to meet you guys.
Very nice to meet you as well. Thank you.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you.
All right. Good night. Thanks a lot. And we'll hopefully be able to listen back soon, and we'll have a new episode for everybody. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys. Have a wonderful evening.
All right. You too. Peace.